That's why strife is so bad. That's why it is so dangerous. When you indulge in it, if you get in that, Satan can take you captive at his will.
I know my God has made a way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Do you tolerate strife in your life? Are you allowing strife to govern you? Join Kenneth Copeland today on The Believer's Voice of Victory as he teaches on the effect of strife on your physical body, your emotions, and your spirit.
There's a number of scriptures here, but I want you to look them up with me. I want you to put your eyes on them. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. Look at the 12th verse. Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sin. All right, go to chapter 15. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Now the 16th chapter and the 28th verse. A disobedient man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. Chapter 17, 14th verse. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. If you begin to release water that's under pressure, it'll right quick get to the point where you can't control it anymore. It'll flood you. Now, I wonder what's such a big deal about strife? Why does the Bible have so much to say about this? All right. Now then, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll look at the third verse. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? The Greek text says, are you not carnal and walk like unchanged men? So here's one thing. Strife caused this church at Corinth to come to the place where they couldn't receive what the Spirit of God sent the Apostle Paul there to deliver to them any more than unsaved men could receive it because of strife. It had rendered them back into the same spiritual condition. They were still born again, don't misunderstand me. But their spirit was captured behind their minds and the strife that was in their mouth and the separation and divisions that were in the midst. There was so much strife going on there, they couldn't hear the voice of God. There was so much strife going on in there, they couldn't do anything spiritual. They thought they were. But he had a lot to say about that, did he not? A lot of correction had to go forth. And it was because of strife. Now let's go to the book of Galatians. In chapter 5, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. I want you to look at the company this thing keeps now. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. It's right in there with it. Boy, that's bad company, isn't it? Drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now then, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. 1 Timothy chapter 6. My goodness, Brother Copeland, what is the big thing about strife? I didn't know there was this much about it in the Bible. Oh, I'm just skimming across the top. Now, if you go look up all the Hebrew words and the Greek words that could have been translated strife, and even other words that are strife in the Bible, like I said, this is not exhaustive at all. But this ought to be enough to get your attention. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll look at the fourth verse. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Strifes of words. Word strifes produce envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from which withdraw yourself. Get out of there. Don't hang around strife. Get out of there. Whew, that's strong, isn't it? Now then, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now then, we're going to answer the question that we have asked all along. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's go down to verse 20. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. So there are gold pots, silver pots, mud pots, and wooden pots, some to honor and some to dishonor. But now get this 21st verse. Look at this. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and able for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Quit claiming you're a mud pot and get busy and purge this stuff out of the way and out of you. And you, God is offering you to be a vessel of silver and gold. Amen. Now, flee youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, agape love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, and patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, the ones that are in strife. Don't you get mixed up in that fuss. There's their side, and there's their side, and then there's the right side. I don't care. You don't ever get the whole picture from one person because they can't see the whole picture. And if they're in strife, they ain't seeing hardly any of it because they're already outside the Word of God. So they don't have any insight. Why? Their feelings are hurt. Well, what has happened? The Word of God has been stolen out of their heart. You're going to have to get them over to the place where each of them will begin to take responsibility for this thing and get out of their selfishness, because strife is totally selfish and totally offense and totally fear-based. But now look, if God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's why strife is so bad. That's why it is so dangerous. When you indulge in it, if you get in that, Satan can take you captive at his will, and you indulge yourself in that, and you've cut the word of God off, and God can't get through to you, and Satan has access to your innermost counsel. And back there years ago, Gloria and I sat over our kitchen table, and we said, we've got to do this. And we declared in this ministry that if you insist on causing and engaging in strife in this ministry, I don't care how good you are at your job. I don't care how great a bookkeeper you are. I don't care how great you are, whatever you're doing. I don't care how talented you are at it. You're going to have to find yourself another job. This is like having a rattlesnake living in the nursery. The company that it keeps. It breeds all that stuff. Now, go to the book of James. Right after the book of Hebrews. Are you with me now? The book of James, and let's look in the third chapter. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend. Jesus made the statement that offense will stop the anointing. It stopped the anointing on him. It will certainly stop it on you or me. If any man offend not in word, the same is a mature man and able also to bridle his whole body. That would be his flesh, wouldn't it? And wouldn't that be his emotions? Wouldn't that be all of the stuff that Satan uses to get to you? We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. With something in a horse's mouth, we can turn him completely around. We can control him. Behold, or look at the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or with a rudder where the governor listeth, or where the governor turns. Whomever is in command of that ship, I don't care how big it is, he can control it with the rudder. He's talking about the tongue here now. Even so, the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Now, behold, look how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Look, he's saying, look at kindling. Well, most people today, I'm sorry to say, don't know anything about building a fire. All they know how to do is set the thermostat, you know. And you take people their first time out in the field, they put a big log up there and stick a match on it, can't figure out how come the thing don't burn. That isn't going to work, dear heart. What do you do? What is kindling? Well, kindling is anything that's small enough or some kind of that's flammable for some reason or other. Some of the best kindling, what we used to look for all the time, is to find an old pine stump somewhere where a pine tree been cut down, and take your knife and dig down in there, because pine sap turns to turpentine. That's what they make turpentine out. It's very flammable. And if you dig little sticks out of there and put them in a waterproof case and stick them in your pocket, now you got some really good kindling, man. Because, I mean, it'll burn like that one match and it's gone. So you put that little thing in there, and that's where it starts. And so then you build up a little more, and you build up a little more, and you add a little more, and you add a little more, and the fire gets bigger, and the fire gets bigger, and the fire gets bigger, and the fire gets bigger. This is talking about the tongue being the kindling to all the fires in your life. It'll be a bonfire one of these days. And somebody comes in and says, What started that? Well, how do we know? The kindling has been burned up. Well, God is telling you what started that horrible fire in your marriage, that horrible fire in your body, that horrible fire in your mind, that horrible fire in your finances. The curse, Scripture says, there is no curse causeless. And the biggest cause there is not their tongue, it is your tongue. You have to follow this. This is the only book on earth that will tell you how to do this. Now, other books that are written in behalf of this, of course, but I'm talking about there are no documents outside this book that you have in your lap that can tell you how to tame your tongue. And if you're not born again, you can't tame it. Now, notice this. The tongue is the kindling. The tongue is a fire, verse 6. A world of iniquity, so the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire. It sets on fire. It sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. That's the way hell gets into your affairs. Can you get the word, the course is the Greek word for wheel. It's the kindling to the fire. The tongue is what starts the wheel rolling. The tongue is what starts the marriage breaking up before you even know that it's in danger. And it's rolling downhill. All of it. The whole curse. Read it again. It's right there. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. If the devil can't get your tongue, he can't get anything else you've got.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Now, my Bible has a cross-reference there. Over in the center reference, it says, or the nature of man. It's literally written like this in the text from which it was translated. Every kind of beast, every kind of bird, every kind of serpent, everything in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by natural man and natural forces. You don't have to be born again to tame a horse. You don't have to be born again to tame or train this natural world. We know that, don't we? That's absolutely true. But look, the tongue can no man tame. Now, don't let that throw you. The text says, the tongue can no man tame with natural forces. The beast can be tamed with natural forces, but the tongue cannot. It has to be a spiritual force to change the tongue. So the natural man can't do it. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, that's not talking about just using profanity. There are a lot of things that are profane in God's eyes that are not in the public's eye. To claim that God is the one that made you sick, that's using God's name in vain.
That's right.
Do you know why? Using the word God, damn a thing or another. Do you know why that's considered profanity? Why it's profane? Why it's using God's name in vain? He's not the damner.
Amen.
He's not the condemner. He's not the curser. See?
Amen.
He's the redeemer.
Yes.
Oh, my. Now, oh, we're about there. Don't cut and run now. Stay with me. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Why? The salt water will contaminate the fresh. It'll mix. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, or let him show out of a good manner of life and his words, his works with meekness of wisdom. All right, now listen. If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above. It is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. It has wiped out all the gifts of the Spirit. Go check out the 12th, 13th chapters of 1 Corinthians. He just wiped them all out. Tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healings, faith. He's wiped it all out with this thing right here. Well, Lord, Brother Copeland, what am I going to do? All right, here it is. The wisdom that is from above. Now, what is the wisdom from above? The Word, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and love. Amen. Now remember what we got a hold of over in Ephesians 3. Don't forget what we're doing. We're being rooted and grounded in love, not strife. We're learning. We're coming up against this thing. We're filling our mouth with the love of God. We're determined to be a good steward. I'm not going to respond in strife. I'm not going to respond, but I'm going to respond in forgiveness. I'm going to love God when I first wake up. I walk out of my house in the morning loving God. I'm already loving. I'm already practicing love. I've already got it in my mouth. And when this strife comes up, then I can say, no, I'm not going to partake of that. I love you. You fill your mouth with the Word. Until it gets down in your spirit, and it will come back up filled with faith, filled with love, filled with power and anointing. And the devil can't take you captive. In fact, he can't get through to you because the blessing wall was up.
Hallelujah.
Just like it was with Job.
Amen.
It's intact. He can't get in there. You've got your full armor on. He comes up there. You just slap him in the face with the Word of God, and he's gone.
Amen.
And love never fails. That's where we're going to take up tomorrow night. Love never fails. I said love never fails.
Does God have a plan for me?
What am I supposed to do with my life?
Now what do I do?
What are your life questions? Discover God's plan for your life and stay on course with it. Kenneth Copeland Ministries introduces Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal, an exciting new curriculum that will help you discover step-by-step God's plan for your life, based on the New York Times best-selling book, God's Master Plan for Your Life by Gloria Copeland. This personal, in-depth Bible study includes a 5-disc DVD video teaching with Gloria, a 5-CD set of the entire teaching, and a one-of-a-kind interactive workbook and journal. Learn practical ways to apply biblical truths that bring answers to your life questions. Connect with God's plan for your life in a deeper way and make your destiny a reality. Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal is now specially priced at only $49.95, a 40% savings for the entire curriculum package. Order your copy online through our website at kcm.org. or call us toll-free, 800-575-4455. Take the next step toward living in God's blessing and connect with God's master plan for your life today.
Today's message came from this year's Great Lakes Believers Convention. To watch Ken's entire message, go to kcm.org and click on Media. Ken taught us today that strife steals and causes division. God's way for you to be redeemed is to have a personal relationship with Him. Begin to walk in love. That'll keep you out of strife. Hallelujah. Jesus has come. He's paid the price. He's ready for you. Anytime you're ready for Him, He's ready for you. Just accept Him as your Savior. Say, Jesus, come into my life and do something with it. Take my life, Lord. The moment that we give ourselves to Him, the moment that we give ourselves to Jesus, He receives us. He causes us to be born again. That's how you get born again. Just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. That's all it takes. He's just waiting on an invitation. You'll never be the same again. Glory to God. Dare to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Now, we have a free gift for those of you. Or if you just want it, we'll send it to you free, even if you've already made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you want to grow some. Here's 5 books and a brochure on how to study the Bible. After you get born again, you ask to receive the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, and you get in the Word, and we want to help you. So these are free. You ask for the free books, and we'll send these to you. We're interested in you. We care about you. That's the only reason we're here on TV, is because we want to see you walk in the blessing that we know is available to you if you just receive the Lord into your life and then begin to do what He tells you to do. Glory to God. This is Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Request your free salvation package online at kcm.org. 5 free books that will help you begin your exciting new walk with God. This is the year of the fullness of blessing, your year to receive the blessing without measure.
What about 2009? That Babylonian system out there is not going to get any better. That thing has come apart, but we don't have to live in that system. You were taken out of the authority of darkness, and you were given the power and the authority and put into the kingdom of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So get yourself ready. We're moving into that master plan for our lives even more than ever, ever before.
Come join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the 2009 Branson Victory Campaign, March 5th through the 7th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Take 3 days to ground your faith on God's Word and get answers to living successfully in every area of your life. Go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.